All right. It is our joy to introduce to you our friend, Evangelist Brian Sharp. Brother Sharp lives in the St. Louis area. He's in full-time evangelism, and God uses him throughout the country. And we're grateful for his study, his insight, and his burden for God's people to know the Word of God. And he'll be teaching to us and preaching to us this week. Now, let me say to those of you who are here that tonight in our 6 o'clock pre-services, we will have another service for the Revival Conference, the Revelation Conference. So it'll not be our regular 6 o'clock hour, but we'll all meet in here and have another service. That means I need 4 ladies for the 6 o'clock nursery tonight. I need 4 ladies right now. Are there 4 ladies that could help us in the 6 o'clock nursery? 1, 2, 3, 4. Thank you very, very much. And if you'll let Miss Cavendish know that you're going to be here before 6 o'clock and be about 5:45, we'll be fine for that. All right. It is our honor to introduce our guest, Dr. Brian Sharp. It's also good to have his daughter, Becky, with him for a few days. And then we're especially pleased to have Brother Sharp's brother and sister-in-law from over in Plano driving over to be in our service today. Would y'all raise your hand up so our people will know who you are? This is the sweeter part of Brother Brian's family. And we're delighted to have you folks. Thank y'all for coming. Brother Sharp, come if you will, please.
Thank you, Brother Smith. Good to see you today. Please take your Bible, if you would, turn to the very first page of Revelation, very first chapter of Revelation. Brother Smith, what time did you say I needed to be finished?
10 minutes. Of
what?
11.
11. Thank you very much. That is Central Time?
Yeah.
All right. I can't quite read those numbers up there, but I'll do my best. All right. Thank you, sir. Good to see you. Glad that you're here today. You that are visiting for the very first time, I'm a guest just like you today. Please do not base your decision on whether or not you come back on how well I performed this morning. You come back and hear Pastor Smith preach. He's a good preacher. Well, one person thinks he is. And he was a visitor, yeah. Let's try that one more time. Don't base your decision on whether or not you come back on how well I do. You come back and hear Brother Smith. He's a good preacher.
Amen.
Amen. You will enjoy him. Now, please, this week, come to every service that you possibly can. And if you can read ahead in the book of Revelation, I'm going to preach every single verse through that book this week. No verse will be omitted. No verse will be overlooked. No verse will be just beat around the bush. We're going to deal with all of the truths that are in the book. And I would encourage you, and it would help me, if you'll read ahead. And if you have a question about the book of Revelation, just write it down on a 3x5 card and slip it to me between or after or before the services. I'll do my best to answer that question. One good thing about being an evangelist and being a guest here, I can always defer to the pastor on the real hard questions. So I thank the Lord for that. All right, we're going to take a test. That's what we're going to do very first thing this morning. You don't have to write anything down. This is a mental test. We have a variety of age groups here. I designed this test and wrote it out not too long ago. This test is will determine how old you are. It's 25 questions. You don't have to write anything down. All you have to do is keep track of the number that you get right. Keep track of the number you get right, and it'll determine how old you are. Now, you must have had firsthand memory participation. What I mean by that is you didn't hear this from grandma and grandpa or mom or dad. You actually remember these things. Number one, keep track now of the number you get right. Do you remember roller skate keys? Roller skate keys. Number two, do you remember a pet rock? A pet rock. Number three, do you remember telephone numbers that began with a word prefix, such as Bellevue 69248? Number four, do you know the value of 2 bits? That's worth about 2 bits. How much is 2 bits? 2 bits, 4 bits, 6 bits. You all went to the same high school. Number 5, do you remember an ice box that did not run on electricity? An ice box that did not run on electricity. We got a few people coming in, so I'll keep the test going for a while. Number 6, do you remember headlight dimmer switch on the floorboard? A headlight dimmer switch on the floorboard. Number 7, do you remember Amos and Andy? Number 8, do you remember milk delivery in a glass container with a cardboard stopper? Number 9, this phrase makes perfect sense. You understand what I'm talking about. Rabbit ears and aluminum foil. Rabbit ears and aluminum foil. Number 10, do you remember a gas war that did not involve an Arabian country? Gas wars. Number 11, Pepsodent. How many of you can sing the jingle? You'll wonder where the yellow went. Number 12, do you remember S&H green stamps? Number 13, Route 66. Number 14, do you remember a soft drink that advertised numerals 10, 2, and 4? 10, 2, and 4. The numbers 10, 2, and 4. Number 15, regular or ethyl? Number 16, Brill Cream. I like these young people. They're looking at each other going, I haven't gotten one right yet. Number 17, 8-track. Number 18, Minnie Pearl. What was her greeting? Number 19, do you remember a metal ice tray that had a lever? Number 20, party line. 21, Pez dispenser. 22, atomic school drills. 23, the real McCoys. 24, you understand the meaning, what this French word pertains to. Bouffant. Bouffant. And last one, 25, do you remember dippity-doo? Dippity-doo. All right, how many of you are in the 0 to 5 category? You only remembered from 0 to 5. Would you raise your hands, please? Okay, you are very, very young. Very young. How many of you are in the 6 to 10 category? Okay, you are slightly aware of what's going on in the world. How many of you are in the 11 to 15 category? You are maturing. How many of you are in the 16 to 20 category? Don't tell anybody your age. How many of you are in the 21 to 25 category? Be sure your will is signed before the day is over. How old are you? All right, the book of Revelation. We're going to do every single verse this week, and so I ask you to please pay attention. We'll review a little bit each night. The name Revelation, names in the Bible mean things. Words mean things. If we do not understand what a word means, we don't understand what a verse means. If we don't understand what a verse means, we don't understand what that chapter means. If we don't understand the chapter, we don't understand the book. If we don't understand the book, we don't understand the Bible. And since every word of God is pure, it is holy, it is inspired, it can stand the scrutiny of the definition down to the jot and the tittle, Jesus said. The word revelation, an English synonym for the Greek word revelation, would be an unveiling. And as the curtain of scriptures are being drawn back in this wonderful book, there's a person being unveiled to us, and his name is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. If you were to imagine yourself at a school play, a performance, you were in the congregation, the stage was here, there was a curtain drawn in front of the stage. A little ruffling of the curtain as the lights grew dim, and you understood and you knew with great anticipation that the star, the hero of the play, had already walked on the stage, but you had not seen him yet. You were just getting a little glimpse of evidence. As the spotlight focuses on the center curtain and the curtain begins to draw back, allowing the light to shine through on the person that's on the stage, That is the definition of the word revelation, an unveiling. And as the curtain of scriptures are pulled back, we're going to see the spotlight of God's word shine upon none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's look at the very first verse here. The Bible says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him. Now, the reason God the Father is glorifying or shining or revealing God the Son unto us is because Jesus is deserving of that glory. Christ gave up that glory when he took upon himself the form of human flesh. He was born of a virgin. You know the story. God was made flesh. He was made flesh for us. He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He thirsted so we could be quenched. He hungered so we could be filled. He went a little lower so we could go a little higher. He put on mortality so we could put on immortality. He came down so we could go up. Now, when he was crucified on the cross, Jesus wasn't tricked into going to the cross. He went as a lamb to the slaughter, knowing full well that you and I could not have forgiveness of sin and not be saved unless somebody without sin, who was absolutely perfect, died in our stead. And Jesus Christ gave up his glory on the cross, resurrected 3 days later, and now God is glorifying him in the last book of the Bible. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him, next phrase in verse 1, to show unto his servants, underline the word servants, write this in the margin of your Bible, if you're saved, that's you. Because we are the servants of God. God is showing us things. God does not hide things from us. God is not a God that surprises us in the negative sense. God wants us to know some things, so he has put it in black and white. He's revealed unto us much in his written word. To show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. Shortly, another synonym would be surely, shortly, positively. It's going to come to pass in a short time frame, absolutely. I'm an absolutist. I'm not much on hypotheticals. I mean, 2 + 2 = 4. You do not need an X and a Y in that equation. Don't complicate it. Put the 4 down and go on with life. Amen? Biscuits and? Bacon and? Roast beef and mashed? You're absolutist as well. Things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. The word signified is to indicate. How many of you drove to church this morning in a vehicle? Okay, you have several signifiers on your dashboard, indicators. One of them is a temperature gauge. Now, that temperature gauge should have shown somewhere around 200 to 210 degrees. Now, you could touch the temperature gauge and not be burned. The temperature gauge was not the source of the heat. It was a signifier. It was an indicator of the temperature of your engine after the water had went through it. And though it was not the source, it did give you, or hopefully, an accurate reading of what was going on. Now we find the book of Revelation, God the Father to God the Son. God the Son gives it to an angel. This would be heavenly messenger angel. This angel comes down and he's a signifier. He's an indicator. He gives the book of Revelation to John the Divine. Now, the book of Revelation did not start with the angel. It did not originate with the angel. He's only indicating what God told him to write. Now, some of the skeptics would say, well, from God the Father to God the Son to an angel to John, it must have lost something in the translation. I beg to differ. Rather than to see areas where it could be misconstrued, I would look at it as there are 4 proofreaders of the Word of God that it is absolutely true. The angel did not originate it, but he does signify and indicate to John what God wants him to write down. And the Bible says in that last phrase that he signified it by his angel unto his servant John. That's the human author of the book of Revelation. This is not John the Baptist. This is John the Divine. This is John, one of the disciples, John the Beloved. This is the John that was in the inner circle, Peter, James, and John. This is the John that laid his head down on the breast of Jesus Christ and heard the heartbeat of the Son of God. This is the same John that was at the crucifixion, and one of Jesus' 7 dying statements was to him, and he said, Jesus, to John about his mother, behold thy mother, and he said to Mary, behold thy son. You two take care of each other while I'm gone. This is John the Beloved. He wrote 4 other books in the Bible. He wrote the Gospel of
John.
Very good. He wrote 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. Very good. All right, that's the fellow that we're talking about right here. John wrote the book of Revelation in the year 96 AD. He was exiled by a Roman emperor on the island of Patmos. That island is still named Patmos today. It's a little island off the coast of Greece. John had been apprehended for his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Many of the early first century New Testament Christians were persecuted and martyred, like Peter the disciple crucified upside down, Paul dying in prison, Timothy in the Bible was beat by a bunch of people at a Mardi Gras type situation in Ephesus. They had sticks with masks on them and were chanting, tapping them on the street. And Timothy stopped and preached to them. They beat him with the sticks. He died 3 days later. Isaiah was put in a hollow log and sawn asunder by King Manasseh. John was lifted up on a fulcrum, swung over a vat of boiling oil, given his opportunity to recant his faith in Christ. He did not recant his faith, and he was lowered into that oil and brought back up and then dumped on the ground. Most people died of such affliction. John did not die, but he was so marred and so scarred, he was exiled to this little island of Patmos. And in 96 AD, he receives the book of Revelation from an angel, from Jesus, from God. And John writes 7 handwritten copies, mails them off to 7 different local churches that were in existence in 96 AD. And you and I, with a King James Bible, are reading an exact copy of what John wrote in 96 AD concerning the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse number 2, John, again, talking about himself, says, I'm the one who bear record of the Word of God. Write John 1:1 there. Because in John 1:1, he wrote, in the beginning was the Word. And then write John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ and the Word of God are synonymous. We can all parent beyond our character. We can all preach beyond our character. Quite often, talent will take you where character cannot keep you. But only Jesus Christ's conduct and character and word were identical. What he said and what he did were one and the same.
Amen.
He was absolutely perfect, and no other human being can make that claim.
Amen.
John says, I bear record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and all that he saw. Now, if you would, look at verse number 3. Tell me the 3 people that are blessed by the book of Revelation. Who's the first person? Blessed is he that readeth. How many of you want God to bless you? Okay, here's an absolute. It's a promise from God's Word. Blessed is he that readeth. When I first discovered this after I got saved 31 years ago now, I began to read the book of Revelation. I have preached it through over 70 times. I've read it through, I'm sure, 1,000 times. But I claim that, God, please bless me. God said, I'll do that if you will read the book of Revelation. So there's a promise, and God would not lie concerning his promises. Now, who's the second person blessed by the book of Revelation? Not only he that reads it, blessed is he that hears it. How do you hear the book of Revelation? Well, you can read it out loud and listen to your own voice. In addition to that, you can come every night this week and hear the book of Revelation preached through. So God says, you want to be blessed? I'll bless you. Read the book of Revelation. Hear the book of Revelation. And who's the third person blessed by the book of Revelation? Blessed is he that keepeth the book of Revelation. How do you keep something from God? How would you keep the book of Revelation? I'll take a whisper, anything. I'm not too bad at reading lips, but they got to be moving for me to decipher what you're saying. How would one keep the book of Revelation? Memorize it. You know, with God, sometimes his ways are contrary to the world's ways. And the natural man or the unsaved person has a hard time understanding things of God. You've got to be saved before God will reveal things to you. For example, the world would say, if you want to be exalted, brag about yourself. But the Bible says, he that wants to be exalted, let him make himself low. Let him humble himself. The way up is first the way down. For example, God says, give and it shall be what? Given. Now the word would say keep and you shall have. God says give and it shall be given. How many of you, you used to have a verse of scripture memorized, chapter and verse and word perfect. But if I ask you to quote that verse right now, you may not have it word perfect or the chapter and verse. You might get part of it, but definitely you used to have it, but you don't have it now like you used to. Anybody want to join me and raise their hand? Okay, why don't we have that? We used to have it, but now we don't have that verse. The reason is we haven't given it away. We kept it all to ourselves. And because we kept it, we lost it. And whosoever saves his life shall lose it. But whosoever loses life, the same shall save it. Had you given that verse away every single day, hey, could I give you John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And then the next day, if I would have given that verse to somebody else, and had I given it away every single day, guess what? I would still have it. But because I kept it, I run the risk of losing it. So the three people blessed by the book of Revelation, blessed is he that reads, blessed is he that hears, and blessed is he that keeps the saying of this prophecy, for the time is at hand. In other words, give it away. When God shows you something in this wonderful book, share it with somebody. Talk about it. Use it in your soul winning and in your witnessing. Speak of it quite often, because the more you give it away, the more you will have it. And the more you will keep it. The last phrase in verse 3 says, for the time is at hand. There's an absolute fixed season when all of these things are going to come to pass. And we're getting very close. Verse number 4. John says, to the seven churches which are in Asia. Every verse of scripture and every passage in the Bible has a primary association. To whom was it written? The book of Revelation was written to seven churches in Asia. That same verse or passage or book, not that has a primary association, has a personal application. What does it mean to me when I come along and I read these things? The same verse that had a primary association has a personal application, has a prophetical anticipation. What's it going to mean in the future? Only God's word was true then, true now, and forever will be true. No other written document can make that claim. John to the seven churches which were in Asia. Seven, you that study numerology, the study of numbers, what's seven the number of? Completion or perfection, God's divine number, created the world in 7 days. Though there were more independent churches in 96 AD than just those seven, God's going to use those seven to sum up the strengths and the weaknesses that the average church goes through today. Seven is this number of divine completion, perfection. Anybody in here ever raise chickens? You've hatched chicken eggs? Does anyone remember the gestation period of a chicken egg? How long does it take it to hatch? 21 days. What's 21 divided by 3? 7. Anyone ever raised turkeys? Turkeys take 28 days to hatch. What's 28 divided by 4? Everybody say 7. Thank you. Anyone in here ever raised cats? You raise cats. Not if we can help it. Give the rest of your target practice. Don't just tease it. The gestation period of a cat is 56 days. What is 56 divided by 8? Puppy dogs. Dogs, their gestation period is 63 days. 63 divided by 9 is? You know, nearly everything born or hatched is born or hatched in a multiple of 7. There are some exceptions. Mosquitoes, ticks, chiggers, things that maybe were part of the curse in the Bible. But that is God's number of completion and perfection. So John, to the seven churches which were in Asia, notice his perfect Christian greeting, grace and peace be unto you. He uses two words in initially greeting them, grace and peace. We need to note this now, because when the Antichrist comes on the scene and is revealed in the book of the book of Revelation, he'll be preaching a very similar message. He has the power almost to deceive the very elect, those of us who are saved. He omits one of these words. Instead of grace and peace, the Antichrist will be preaching peace only. Kumbaya. All we are saying is give peace a chance. That'll be his message. Let's note now that, you know, nearly every New Testament epistle begins with the same phrase, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. The Antichrist will only preach peace. Let's all set our differences aside. Let's all get together. I'm going to smack you, and then I'm going to say, let's have tolerance. Let's have understanding. Let's have acceptance. It amazes me that in northern Israel and southern Lebanon, there were 2,000 UN peacekeeping, observing soldiers there. Now the new peace treaty, they want 15,000 UN soldiers and 15,000 Lebanese soldiers. Well, 2 months ago, they had Lebanese soldiers and 2,000 UN peacekeeping soldiers there to observe. What did they observe? Thousands of Hezbollah bringing in thousands of rockets. That's what they observed. And now we got another peace treaty, another roadmap to peace, which is actually the roadmap to destruction. When I teach you about the Antichrist and get into the book of Daniel, you'll find out the Bible already had it penned what he would do. And that is, by peace shall destroy many. Be careful of people who want to totally disarm you. Quite possibly there's an ulterior motive. And once you are totally disarmed, with what shall you defend yourself then? Amen. John says, grace and peace be unto you. You cannot have the peace of God till you first have the grace of salvation. You can't make your peace with God until you first turn from your way to Jesus and say, I'm a sinner, please forgive me. I'm trusting you to take me to heaven. The grace of salvation does produce the peace of God that passes all understanding. All right, last part of verse 4. Grace and peace be unto you from him which is, and which was, and which is to come. Those three phrases describe the Lord Jesus Christ. Write this down if you would. The first phrase, him which is. Jesus is our high priest. Where is Jesus Christ right now? He's in heaven, sitting where? On the right hand of the Father, doing what? Interceding for you and I. The devil goes up and makes accusation. He's our advocate. He's our attorney. And he's never lost a case. Amen. He is our high priest. Him which is our high priest. You can write that, high priest. And the Bible says, not only him which is our high priest, that's Hebrews 4, 14 through 16, but him which was. Jesus was our humble propitiation. 1 John 4, 9 through 10. On the cross of Calvary, propitiation meaning an atoning thing. Jesus died for us. The wages of sin is death. We should all have to die a second death in the lake of fire. But because Jesus died for us on the cross of Calvary, we don't have to go there. We can go to heaven and eventually the New Jerusalem through Christ. He is our high priest. He was our humble propitiation. And then him which is to come. He's coming back as our heavenly potentate. Our heavenly potentate. 1 Timothy 6, 14 through 15. Potentate means a ruler of supreme authority. He's King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. So he was... He is our high priest. He was our humble propitiation. But when he comes back the next time, he'll never be crucified again. He'll never ride a donkey down the streets of Jerusalem. Next time, it'll be a white horse. And he's coming back to rule all nations with a rod of iron. He will defeat all the Antichrist crowd at the Battle of Armageddon, set up his millennial reign, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. The last phrase in verse 4 says, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. Write Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 and 2 there. These are attributes of the Holy Spirit. You will notice there the capital S. The Holy Spirit, as well as God, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing, omnipresent. He's everywhere. God the Father, as well as God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are agreeing that the revelation is about Jesus Christ. Now let's go back to Isaiah chapter 11 very quickly, and you can count these 11 spirits or attributes of the Holy Spirit. They are mentioned several times in the book of Revelation, and every time you see them, you can know that the Holy Spirit is agreeing that Jesus Christ should be the one revealed. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. There shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. Jesse was King David's father. And a branch, capital B, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, a direct descendant, shall grow out of his roots. Now let's count the seven spirits. I'll say attributes of the Holy Spirit. I will give one attribute. You say one. I'll give another. You say two. Okay, verse 2. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom. Understanding. The Spirit of counsel. Might. The Spirit of knowledge. Fear of the Lord. So there are the seven that are mentioned in the book of Revelation, and you'll see them several times more. Now let's go back to Revelation 1 and look at verse number 5. Still with me this morning? Amen. All right, I'm going fast because we've got to make up just a little bit of time. All right, trust me, if your IQ equals your age, you're going to get it this week. I promise you, you're going to get it. You're going to have it all in a nutshell, the book of Revelation. Revelation 1, verse 5. Not only is it from God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, but verse 5 says it's from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead. The word begotten also means first. He's the first of the dead. Let me explain that. Jews always go first in the Bible. Gentiles always go second. For example, a Hebrew Bible, Genesis 1:1, has seven words in it. In an English Bible, it has 10 words in it. Enoch was the seventh from Adam. He went out first. Noah, the tenth from Adam. He went out second. The Jews who were saved were resurrected 3 days after the crucifixion, phase one of the first resurrection. All of us Christians are going out at the rapture, phase two of the first resurrection. Jews count by seven, 7, 14, 21, 28, 35, 42. We Gentiles generally count by 10, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60. Jesus is the first of the Jews, the first of the first. Let me explain that. He was a direct descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. However, he also said, before Abraham was, I am. Jesus Christ is the fourth word in the first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God, Elohim, God in plurality. Jesus was not only before the Hebrew nation, he's also from the Hebrew nation, making him the first of the first. Everybody understand that phrase now. All right, he's the first begotten of the dead and the princes of the kings of the earth. Last phrase in verse 5, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Let me close with this. Let me give you three ways that Jesus loves you. First of all, the Bible says here in verse 5, he washed us from our sins in his own blood. This brings me to a biblical truth I call like cures like, or like cleanses like. Let me explain. How many of you men have ever worked on a greasy engine? Got your hands all greasy working on an engine. All right, does water clean grease off of your hands? Okay, how many of you men have got your hands greasy, have poured gasoline on your hands and cleansed your hands and then washed them? Okay, like cleanses like. You need something like dirty grease to cleanse dirty grease. It has to be a petroleum-based product. If you paint with a water-based paintbrush, you can stir that paint in gas and it won't clean it. Stir it in water, it will. Like cleanses like. Oil-based paint, you got to clean in gasoline or something like that. Like cleanses like, cures like. You ever get bit by a rattlesnake? You go to the emergency room, you get an anti-venom shot, which is made from the venom of a rattlesnake. Like cures like. And have you got a flu shot last year? Ever get a flu shot? What do they give you in a flu shot? They give you a little bit of the flu virus. Why? Like cleanses, cures like. Now listen to me carefully. We have a disease in our body, in our blood, that we were all born with. It is called sin. You don't have to teach a child to do right. I mean, to do wrong. You have to teach a child to do right. People do wrong automatically. We're born with a sin nature because we're direct descendants of Adam and Eve. We need someone's blood like our blood to cleanse our blood. But that person's blood cannot be tainted in any way. And the only person that fits the bill is the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he was born of a virgin and his father was God. Therefore, he does not have sinful blood. His blood was holy blood, perfect blood, and shed for us. Give you three ways Jesus loves you, and I'll be done. Number one, he loves you as his servants. This is agape benevolent, John 15:9. This is like somebody who works for someone else. They care for them. They provide them the tools, the safety. They pay him a wage. Number two, he loves you as his children, Ephesians 5:1-2. This is agape affectionate. I love my children a little deeper than I do people who work for me. I never let people who work for me sit on my lap. I never told people who work for me bedtime stories. The third way Jesus loves you is as his bride. Ephesians 5:25-28. He so loved us as God so loved the world. Men ought to so love their wives. There isn't one adjective in front of that word love, so God uses the word so. It's agape inclusive, multifaceted from every angle. Jesus Christ, he loved you. He died for you. Those of us who are saved, we've been washed by his blood. If you're not saved, you need to trust in Jesus and him alone as your Savior this morning. Father, bless the Sunday school hour and the preaching that will follow. I pray in Christ's name, amen.
All right. Thank you.